chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Excitement. Boy, that's the way it ought to be at in church. Always excitement with the kids. It's amazing that how God speaks. And Lee, you mentioned today about expositional preaching. And I'm going to tell you, if you wasn't preaching through the books, this is one of those chapters that you just go ahead and skip right over, okay? Skip right over and say, we'll deal with that at another time. Submission in the home. We have been dealing with 1 Peter. He started out chapter 2 and he's talking about we are this chosen generation. Man, we're the people of God. A royal priesthood is what he called us. And he said that God saved us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then he says, hey, and this is what it looks like. And he begins at 2:13, and he starts about this being a life of submission or submissive living. This is really our third part. First part was we are to be in submission to civil authority. God placed government. It doesn't matter where we are. He placed government to keep the things, the world at bay, and that we, without the government, without these things, without our law enforcement, all these laws in place, what would the world be like? God ordained that. And then the next, we saw that submission in the workplace, submissive living in the workplace, that God gave us places to work. We have bosses where we are at that we serve. We serve under the Lord, but we also serve them, and that we all understand none of us like to be submissive to anything, if we're honest. And yet we see that within this Christian living, within this frame that God's given us to live in, that a life of submission, each and every one of us come under that umbrella. And so today I want us to look at submission in the home. It's what we'll be doing. Take your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, and take it in your hand and stand to your feet. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll be looking at 1 through 7, and the title is Submission in the Home. And this is what it says, 1 Peter 3, the Word of God says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outwardly, arranging of the hair or wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be from the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, for a few moments that you'll speak to our heart. Help us to receive that which your word is teaching us for your glory. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Now you see what I was talking about, don't you? One of those verses you don't hear preached a whole lot. I dare say that you haven't heard many sermons that come out of 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, especially unless your pastor preaches expositorily. He goes through books of the Bible. Listen, but it's nothing for us to look at. You know what's wrong with it? It's what we've done with it and what the church has done with it. This is something beautiful that God has spoke through Peter to give to us, and I hope that through our explanation today and through teaching of this, that you'll see it's nothing that somebody, listen, I do not believe that anybody is lesser or greater when it comes to male and female. In fact, I think it's co-equal, and God made it that way, but there are some structures that he set up. Can everybody say amen? And that when we understand that, and when the beauty of it is how it's meant to flow, and how it's meant to live, and how it's meant to be lived out in our society, at where we work, and especially at home. And so I want us to think about those things. And I want you to clarify that submit, when we understand that we're co-equal, we come side by side, and then we hear this word submit, you say, well, how can that be? There's no way that you can be co-equal or co in that if he's talking about this authority structure that, hey, I have to submit, then you have a problem with the Trinity, my friend. You have a problem with the Trinity. You say, what are you talking about? Was Jesus Christ God? Was he? Was he equal in every way with God the Father? Philippians tells us that, chapter 2, in all ways he was equal. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the chapter, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John says. And so, Jesus is equal with God, but then what did he do? He submitted to the Father's will. Did that make him less? No. See, our problem is with the Word and what we've done with it in our culture today. If we have a problem with submission, then we have a problem with Christ, because he submitted to the Father's will. Aren't you glad? Because we'd be wasting our time this morning if he didn't. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And I want you to know something this morning. You might have come to hear a message. The message is Christ. It always will be. And the greatest example, these submission verses, what did he give us that we finished last week? And he said, here's Christ. Here's who you're supposed to imitate. Our greatest illustration is Christ. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And my friend, if that's you, he came to seek and save you this morning. He loves you. He gave himself for you. And so when we're in this idea of the submission in the home, keep that in mind. This institution that God ordained from the very beginning between a man and a woman, and it's called marriage. And I want to tell you something. It's the greatest thing other than my salvation I can testify this morning. Right here between my wife and my daughter. I can testify it's the greatest thing other than my salvation as far as relationships that are going to happen on this earth. Can anybody say amen? Any men better? Amen. God ordained it. God instituted it. He made it at the very beginning. The first institution that we had was marriage. Why? The whole foundation of the culture rests upon it. And yet within that, we see that he also sets up this structure. And so we'll see that through this preaching and through the teaching of Peter to the church, but also through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, through down through the ages, teaching to us this morning is, what do we do? Submission in the home and what it looks like. I want you to see first the wife's responsibility. We saw 1 through 6 where it starts out when he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, that when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outwardly, arranging your hair and wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be a hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are if you do good, and are not afraid with terror. Peter's already, back in chapter 2, he's already called us aliens and strangers. Okay, he's already made that. And I want you to know something. There's no teaching in Scripture today. It's more alien or stranger in our culture today. And when we hear this and we take it, and I want you to know something, ladies, when we look at this and this Scripture this morning, it's going to go contrary to what the culture teaches you and all these things. But when we understand it in the truth of God's Word, it's not contrary to God and what He is teaching us and what He's saying. And it's not this idea of being beat down, being less than, or none of those things. If it was, I wouldn't teach it or preach it. It's not about that. It's about God saying, this is what it looks like, and this is what works if we want our world to go as He wants it to go. And I want you to know it's a theology. It's not just taking this chapter out or this verse out. There's a theology of teaching all through the Scriptures. Talking about Ephesians 5:21, Colossians 3, Titus 2, 1 Corinthians 7 and 11. Multiple places throughout Scripture that the Lord speaks of this structure that He has set up. I'm going to tell you there's not much more that's misunderstood in 21st century church. And that pagan mindset is totally opposed to any biblical teaching that lessens women, which, by the way, I am too. There's no women. The women are not less or ever will be less than men are. Do you hear me today? That's not what we're teaching. That's not what Peter is saying. In fact, Galatians 3 will tell you, listen, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female. We're all equal in Christ. All of us equal. And yet this structure we see, it's not saying that women are subpar or less than men. This is teaching the God-ordained structure of the home. And the problem is, well, again, what we've done. So there's a mutuality of responsibility in marriage bond.
1 Corinthians says, you know what? That we belong to each other when we're married. We belong to each other. And it makes it clear here that God is showing this is how the beautiful picture of marriage and how it works today. There's a problem with our marriages today, aren't there? Well, you say, how can you say that? Well, let's say about 50% of them, maybe even greater than that, end in divorce. Why? Because we're not basing it on the foundation of what God teaches us, how a marriage is supposed to look and what it's supposed to be founded upon, and that's Christ. It takes, you say, well, it's 50-50. No, it's 100%, 100%. Can anybody say amen? Ain't no 50-50. It's 100% of each other. Given unto God first, unto Christ. And when it's built on that foundation, hey, when the storms come, it won't fall. So I want you to see here first the woman's responsibility. And he says it's submissive and faithful. Look at verses 1 through 2. Because he goes back and he says, likewise, and he's going back to the entire section and he's saying, this is the greatest example, it's Christ. Likewise, be as Christ, ladies. And he's saying, what? Be submissive, or here it is, let your husband be your authority. Let him be your leadership in the home. So, oh my goodness. Now, a bunch of you guys don't start elbowing your wife. Say, I told you, honey. That's not. We're going to see that. You getting your word also today, all right? This is God's design or role necessary for man's well-being. To your own husband, don't miss that. That means, listen, it's not commanding women to be submissive to all men, but in every context, it's saying to your own husband. Allow him to lead, ladies. Allow him to, he should be the spiritual leader of your home. If not, listen, that's sad, by the way. Guys, we're living in a day that it shouldn't be that the women are the ones leading, coming to church, getting the kids ready, all these things, pushing, saying, we got to go to church today. It should be you saying, let's go, guys. Let's go, because they'll follow you. That's the structure that God set up. And one of these days, you're going to stand before that God and that Christ and give an account for that, by the way. She will not stand before the Lord for you, but you'll stand there for her, because that's what the structure is. You better be leading in your home spiritually before the Lord. It says, look why. That even, listen to what he says, that even if some of them do not obey the word, they're unbelievers. Unbelievers, because this was the early church. And so we know that this church that he's writing to is a lot of women and a lot of slaves, all these things. And yet we see that he's saying there's going to be unbelievers also in these homes. He says, even if they don't obey or believe the word, that without a word, it's not that you hammering them, hey, you need Jesus. It's not that. It's not. He said, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wife. Wow, that's powerful. What is he saying? He's saying this, that without that word, that an example of Christ is the greatest evangelistic tool that a lost husband can see in his believing wife. This life that she lives out. Verse 2 says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Her submission is as a faithful wife to her lost husband commends the gospel to him. In other words, he sees the gospel lived out in her life, regardless of how she's being treated. You see, today we give back what we get, don't we? That's what our culture teaches us. And listen, by no means should any woman live in an abusive home. Do you hear that? Never abused. Never. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about right here that says you can live a godly life in front of somebody that's lost and be one of the greatest testimonies in their life. They can never deny Christ because they see Christ in you. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying how that believer lives helps some of them to the grace, this grace that we're talking about in Christ, become more believable because they see it lived out. And lovely, what, gracious and submissive attitude is the most effective tools that you can have in showing Christ. Chaste conduct, pure conduct towards God and her husband. Then it says, accompanied by fear. And it, you know what it's speaking about there? Respect. Now, I'm going to give you a little diamond, ladies, this morning. If you didn't already know this, to help you, all men need to be respected, ladies. Now, their ego will never tell you that. Okay, they got you talk about a woman's hormones, but a man's ego is messed up just as much as any hormones ever thought about, man, okay? Let's just be honest before. before the Lord today, okay? A man's ego is just as messed up, if not more so. And he's not about to tell you that he needs respect, but ladies, he does. And when you show him respect, you give him such a platform for Christ to work in his life, even when he's lost. Now, you should never follow him in sin. You know, you should never follow him when he's going against God's word, but you should follow him in the other things. And you should show him respect. Why? Because that's God's plan, and that's what he's saying. And we should respect one another. There should be a mutual respect for one another, as we'll see. So we see submissive and faithful, but next, look, beauty that is displayed. Look at verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now listen, what he's not saying is, lady, don't never fix your hair. Or don't ever put on jewelry. Or don't ever dress up. Praise God that you do and you look very beautiful, okay? What's he saying? He's saying don't let your life be marked by fashion. It's not what your self-worth is found in. It's not in how you do your hair. It's not in what you put on that you find your self-worth. It's in Christ. And that beauty comes forth, and that's what he's saying here. He's telling them, look, you don't. We want you to take care of yourself, and I'm not taking to the extreme that you never dress up or you never put on fine clothes, you never fix your hair. He's not saying that. He's just saying, don't let fashion be what marks you. We all see beauty in someone that takes care of themselves, but ladies, listen, you're not a Christmas tree that you hang ornaments on, okay? Seriously. It's not about everybody oohing and aahing over what you have on or how you fixed your hair or how your makeup looks and all that. And listen, and I know that's tough because you live in a world that tells you you need to look like this, you need to weigh this. This is what a beautiful woman looks like, which is garbage, okay? A beautiful woman, we're going to see, radiates from the inside out. That's it. And that's what he's talking about here. It's about a lady that, and this blows first century or 21st century thinking out of the water because it's all about how we look and how the world's telling you you need to look this way and act that way. And young ladies, don't buy into that. Say, how can you say that? I grew up with four sisters, okay? No brothers. Count mama, there was five women in my life all the time. And I am very familiar, ladies, with the demons that you wrestle with, that you never feel like you're good enough or look good enough or you never measure up. And that's what Satan uses, one of his greatest tools that he uses against the ladies in this room. Men, you need to understand that. They never feel like they measure up. They never feel good enough. And that's the demon, the greatest demon that he used. Listen, that's not biblical, ladies. Find your self-worth not in what the world says look good, but what does Jesus say looks good. And you'll find that fulfillment that you're longing for. That God, he says, it's incorruptible, which, by the way, now we all know all about getting older, right? We can't stop that process. They make billion-dollar industries selling you some kind of cream that's made out of clam shell or something that'll make the wrinkles go away. Put it on there. Just look at them big old bags go away. I'm serious. That's because they understand your market. They understand what you deal with. They understand that this is the way. And that's what it is. It's a way to make money. That's what it is. And so as you get older, And gravity and all these things are going to take its toll, and it don't matter how much makeup you put on, it's not going to cover it up. It don't have to. Wear it with. It's almost like you've earned that right. You've earned that because it's not about this outward beauty. It's about an inward beauty that radiates from the inside and comes to the outside. And that's what he's saying. It's incorruptible. Listen. Ladies, you don't have to worry about the wrinkles taking it over. It's never fading. It's imperishable. That's what he says. It's beauty. And it's what is it? It's a gentle and a quiet spirit. And why would you do that? Well, what does he say? It's very precious in the sight of God. Is that what the Word of God says right here? It's very precious in the sight of God. It's precious. When you find your self worth in not what you wear, how you fix your hair, how you do your makeup or what jewelry you have, but in who you are in Christ. He said, that's precious. That's precious. And then last, look, he's following godly examples, verses 5 and 6. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Out of all the people in the Bible that he could have used as an example, who does he choose? Sarah. Sarah. Now, I want to tell you, Sarah didn't have no problem with looks. Okay, when she was an old woman, even older woman, he was worried about, when they went back down to Egypt, he was worried about them killing her because she's so beautiful. It wasn't that she wasn't beautiful on the outside, but that wasn't where her beauty was coming from. He said, listen, it came from this life that set apart under her husband. And here's the deal. He says, and Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. She didn't run around saying, Lord Abraham, Master Abraham. If you look, that's Genesis 18. It's when the angel of the Lord comes to him, and she tells Sarah she's going. He said, hey, Sarah's going to have a baby this time next year. She's 90 years old. What do you think she did? She laughed. And she said, can my Lord have child at that age? We're well past it. And she said it to herself. She spoke it under her breath, which, by the way, ladies, that testifies so much greater than it is what she was doing out in the open. She spoke it to herself and said, Abraham, can my Lord do that? She had the respect that she had for her husband. And look what happened. About that time next year, they had a son. Unbelievable, but they give this example. It's not like that somebody's not come before you and lived these things out. And he uses Sarah there, and how it six, and this section ends, and it says, and are not afraid with any terror. What's he talking about there? Obeying Scripture will bring the wrath of the world down on you. Do you understand this? It'll bring the wrath of the world. Don't fear what the world thinks. Just please the Lord. Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. The fear of man is, if you're trying to measure up to what the world or your friends or somebody else thinks of you, you're never going to live. But when you realize that you have freedom in Jesus Christ to live before Him and the beauty of the Lord oozes out from you, that's a woman to be praised, my friend. She don't have to. She can walk in the comfort of knowing that she's who she is in Christ. She's not trying to please anybody else but her Lord. What an example that He gives us here. And don't fear what the world thinks. Just please the Lord. Because that is the wife's responsibility. But look at there. Here's the husband's responsibility. Look at verse 7. Husbands, and he uses that word again, likewise. So it's not like he's just saying, hey, ladies, this is what you're supposed to do, but don't worry about him. Which, by the way, husband, it is not your job to make her submit to you. Can I hear an amen? You treat her the way the Lord tells you to treat her, regardless of what you're getting, because it's not your job to say, hey, the Scripture says for you to submit to me. Go get me something to eat. That's what the world's done with it. That's why everybody's so leery when we come to this. But when we do... And when we do what God tells us to do, it's beautiful. It's beautiful unto the Lord. Because it says husband's responsibility. Verse 7, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together for the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Likewise, are in the same manner. It's this mutuality of submission and love and coming together, shoulder to shoulder, serving the Lord as He's made it. And look, He has three responsibilities here. What's the first one? Consideration. What does He say? Dwell with them with understanding. This is talking about being considerate. Understanding speaks of being sensitive to her physical and emotional needs. It's cherishing her. Guys, what's the matter with guys that, you know what, hey, you don't have to do none of that. That's a Hollywood stuff to romance her. Who cares about her? In fact, hey, she's hung with me anyway, so I ain't going to worry about it. Now, seriously, the Bible says that we as men are responsible for consideration, putting her first and saying, what, honey, how can I help you? What can I do? Showing her love, understanding, being sensitive. That's what we're known for. We're men. We're not sensitive. We don't know what to do with that. When she's crying, look, oh, she'll get over it. She might get over it all right. Listen, it's easy for us to point out what the woman's supposed to be doing, but what about what we're supposed to be doing? And when you're considerate, guess what? She don't have no problem following you. She don't have no problem letting your leadership go forward when you're considerate and you place her and you love her and you show her cherishing her. But not only that, look, chivalry. What does it say? Giving honor. That's not something that's died, by the way. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. A believing husband should also be chivalrous to his wife. This, again, is not understood as inferior. She is not weaker in character, in intellect, or spiritually. She is your equal. But listen, it says God made her weaker in physically. It's just the way God designed it. If you have a problem with it, take it up with God. It's what the Word says, that giving honor to the weaker vessel. God made her weaker physically in strength. So we're supposed to be this sacrificial provider and protector. God's called you to take care of her. That's His daughter. Take care of her, because that's the way He designed it. God did it this way. And you know what? Listen, I just believe you should treat her as a lady. You should open the door. Don't make her carry stuff heavy in. Carry it for her. Why? It says she's weaker. Open the door for her. Tell her that you love her. Tell her that you cherish her. Tell her that you care for her. Tell her that she's the most important thing in your life other than Jesus. You say, well, I can't do that. Why not? That's what the Word says. You won't be disobedient? We'll find out what that'll get us here in just a minute. Consideration and chivalry. But last, look, companionship. I think we've lost this. 2019. Companionship, what are you talking about? As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. She is a fellow heir of the grace of life. And it's not referring too much as eternal life, which is true, but also it's this true intimate friendship. True intimate friendship, companionship. Some of you just treat her like a worker, just to work. How about she's your friend? She's done life with you. I saw a sign the other day that said, I gave him my best skinny years. She's your companion. She's your best friend. She's the one that knows you and still loves you. Ooh! That's it. That's about as the truth as you can get it right there. She knows you and still loves you, friend. Companionship. She's your friend. Show her consideration. We are to treat her with chivalry. And we are to be her companion, her friend. I've realized that as I get older and older and older, it happens all the time. And we have more and more years under our belt. How much of a friend that I have sitting right here? Nobody else knows the pain. She shares it with me. When there's nobody to talk to, when there's nobody to open up to, when you're dealing with sin like everybody else, because pastors do. But you can't share it with nobody. But you can't her. She's there. And she prays with you. And she's there, and she puts up with you. And she puts up with ministry. And she puts up with people that aggravate the hell out of you sometimes. And she hears it. You know what? Sometimes she gets what's left over, too. And you dump off on her when you should be taking the beating yourself. Fellas, don't take advantage of the one sitting beside you that God's giving you. Because the truth is, when you lead in this way, when you show her consideration, when you treat her with chivalry, when you give her companionship, she ain't going to have no problem following. What do we do with this? Look at the results when we don't do this. I can tell you that. The results when we do not live this way, that your prayers may not be hindered. That's how important it is to God. You're not getting any prayers through? You better be looking the way you're treating your wife. Is that not what the Word says, that your prayers may not be hindered? Listen, if my prayers are not, if they're bouncing off the ceiling coming back, I better be looking at the way I'm treating her. Is that not what it says? That's how important that it is to God, guys. You want to be a prayer warrior that gets your prayer through? You better be treating your wife right. Some of you has took her for granted for many, many, many years. And she's just wanting somebody, a companion, to love her and appreciate her for what she's done. Those meals that she's made for you. That work that she's got out there and labored with you. How many times you said, honey, thank you so much. Thank you for being that person that God's brought in my life. Thank you for putting up with me. Linda, come and play. We'll do our applications and be done. Number one, where do you find your self-worth? Ladies, I'm speaking to you, but men as well. Where do you find your self-worth? Is it what you wear? Is it your outward beauty? Is it your career? What is it that you're finding your self-worth from? If it's something other than Jesus Christ, you're in trouble today, this morning. Find your self-worth in Him. Number two, how is your marriage? Now, guys, you might think it's okay. You need to ask her. Won't you just ask her sometime today? How's our marriage, honey? Man, what can I do to improve on it? If she loves you at all, she'll tell you the truth. Truth hurts sometimes too, all right? Be prepared for the truth. How's your marriage? Number three, are your prayers being answered? Let's stand on our feet. Are your prayers being answered? What's God saying today? Shut your eyes before the Lord. Is it possible? Is it possible that somebody can be saved through a message about submission? You better believe it. The Holy Spirit of God uses a lot of things. And He might have shot you right in the heart today because you see yourself and how you are and how you're treating maybe that one that you love the most. And you know, you say, hey, I need to come before the Lord because I don't know that I have Jesus in my heart. If I have Jesus in my heart, I'm going to live and line up with God's Word. Anybody here today that say, you know what, I need Christ. Eyes closed before the Lord. I need Jesus Christ, and I'm going to acknowledge that by raising my hand and say, Lord Jesus, I need Him. I'm not saved. I'm raising my hand before the Lord saying, please pray for me, Pastor. I won't embarrass you for nothing. Is anybody here that just needs to do business around the altar and say, you know what, I just need to talk to the Lord for a minute because, God, Your Word has pierced me. Your Word has pierced me. People are praying. How about you? Spirit of God's working. Don't let Him go by. Don't let Him go by. Don't be sitting there tonight saying, you know what? I should have went forward. That's called disobedience. It ain't going to get you anywhere. Men, how's your prayer life? How's your marriage? Ladies, are you respecting Him? What's God saying to you? Just a few moments. Respond to the Lord in obedience. Thank you. you didn't have to come forward to be saved, but it sure does make me. You can stand right there in your chair, right where you're at in your pew, and you can say, Lord Jesus, I realize I do not know you as personal Savior. Scripture says all those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what it says. But I want you to know this also. You're not going to get saved in a vacuum. You're going to let somebody know. You're going to let somebody know, because the new creature in you, you can't keep it in. If you come to know Christ, you let somebody know today. And you start living for Him and be under accountability. And we're so glad you're here. Anyway, I can help you. Tonight we're going to be over at Rutherwood. Revival. Pray that the Lord... Pray for an Old Testament miracle to happen tonight. You say, what are you talking about? Let the Lord speak to a donkey one more time. All right? That's it. That's it. And I'm being nice, okay? I didn't use the barnyard term. That's right. Listen, come out, Rutherwood, choir singing. Come out and let's worship together and join together as a body of believers with our sister church, great church over there, Peter Vandenberg, love him to death. But listen, come out. We love you. Anyway, I can do for you, please let me know. Lead, pray, close in prayer.